Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, welcome to a special edition of Leave It in the Ring Radio. Well, as most of you have heard about Andre Berto and the breaking news that Gabriel Montoya has done. You know, I mean, we've talked about this. We've been, really pushing about the VADA testing here on Leave It in the Ring. I'm waiting for my co-host to call in right now. And Gabriel has this story. He's going to be able to really break it down before accusations or what people are going to start writing about Andre Berto. You know, I keep saying this, you know, it's not knee deep. He's neck deep into what is happening with this movement of the VADA testing. You know, fight fans, I know a lot of fight fans are very upset because the Victor Ortiz fight is in jeopardy. We did Leave It in the Ring. My writers from Leave It in the Ring, as well as Gabriel Montoya, had made calls to Golden Boy, made calls to Berto Camp. And as of right now, I know Berto made a statement. Of course, he did. I'm not really too sure if it was his statement or not, but one of my writers, Josh McDaniel, had a chance to speak to Andre Berto's camp, and they were like, they weren't really understanding what happened. They don't know exactly what was found, so they couldn't make a statement. Victor Ortiz, Rolando Arellano, his lawyer, you know, didn't want to make any statements just because of the fact that it's so early. It's so early in what's happening. It's too fresh, and I understand that. You don't want to jump the gun. You don't want to make any statements about another fighter. You don't know whether or not what's going in on the minds of Golden Boy at the moment, because this is a big blow. This is a very huge blow, you know? So as we wait with Gabriel, because his phone's going off the hook about everything that's going along with this, the VADA testing, Victor Conte, a lot of folks saying, you know, well, this is the reason why you don't trust Victor Conte. My only thoughts about this is that this is the first thing I thought was that here's a guy that was really parading this type of testing, asking for this type of testing, presented this type of testing to his fighters. And I only think of the thing is that when I see people go like, oh, well, that's why I don't trust Victor Conte, because what supplements is putting in his body. So what I'm thinking and what I'm hearing is that this guy set up his own fighters to be caught with the VADA testing. I don't get any of that. I don't understand any of that. You know, I just don't believe that, you know, and we've had them numerous times. And right now, I'm getting a text by Gabriel, and he's going to be coming on very soon. He's on a phone call right now. He's telling me he's going to be on very, very soon. Fight fans, you want to call in? You want to vent out? You want to tell us what your thoughts about this right now? 347-215-7598. You know, my co-host is definitely going to be able to answer a lot of your guys' questions. But any concerns that, you know, who possibly could be the opponent if this fight is canceled, because it's the big if. We're not for sure. We're not for certain. Golden Boy's not jumping the gun. They did it with Lamont Peterson, you know, where they could have rolled it over with Amir Khan and could have done exactly what Top Rank would have done if they were in that position. This time they're thinking it through, because now they've been in that, and they're kind of understanding that sometimes you got to go by the fly. You got to do it by the fly. You got to, you know, roll with the punches. You got to really just kind of handle yourself like a company, like most companies. You got to, you know, you just got to extend yourself. So call in 347-215-7598. 347-215-7598 here on Leaving the Ring while we wait for Mr. Dark Cloud, Gabriel Montoya, to call in and tell us exactly what is going on. What has he found out with Andre Berto? The testing had a soldier, I mean, he had a bicep injury. And what exactly what was found in those testings? So if you want to call in, you definitely can. If you found out any information, you want to clarify it, you can here on Leave a Ring, 347-215-7598. You absolutely can. You know, we've been on top of it. And you know, I had a few people hit me up saying, this is a new testing. It's only been around for a whole year. You know, and oh, big deal. You know, Floyd Mayweather, let's give him all the credit. Yeah, let's give him some credit. Some credit want to clean up the sport. But don't take away the credit that Bata testing has been doing, because they're the ones that caught two people for something that USADA and WADA wouldn't have done. They wouldn't have found that out. Let's be realistic here. Not hating on Floyd Mayweather. There's some folks who are like, oh man, you're hating on Floyd, you're doing this. No, I'm not hating on him. But the job of certain people in this business is to cover the right things in the sport. Cover it. Give people credit where the credit is due. I'm going to give them credit. I know in the beginning I didn't. And the whole purpose I didn't, because this is not a testing he was asking for. Don't sit there and tell me that he wasn't aware of this. He's been aware of it. My co-host has asked him about this testing. So, granted, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt he didn't know about any of this. Maybe he didn't know about the VADA testing. Maybe he didn't know that Margaret Goodman was relieved from her position from the Nevada State Commission. And because of the fact that she had made note that there was a lot of substance being used, abused in sports. And I keep saying sports because I see a lot of people putting out there, oh, this has ruined boxing, this is the end of boxing. People, where have you been? I had one guy send me an email going, so are you saying that Olympians who have been using the Olympic-style testing, they've been cheating? Where have you been? Where have you been? Is this new? I don't know. Am I the only one that has been watching all sports? Am I the only one that understands that this is not a problem just in a month? This is not a big problem in a month in our sport. It's not. This past Instant Fight fans want to weigh on what we're discussing while we're waiting for Gabriel Montoya, my co-host of Leaving in the Ring. And he can give us some more insight. But we're going to get some fight fan views, some boxing head views about what's happening in the sport, in the world of sports, not just in boxing. So let's go with area code. We don't have David Chen with us tonight, so we're going to go off of area codes. 623, what's up, brother? You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring.
Yo, what's up, David? It's Tony.
What's up, Tony? How you doing, brother?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Caught wind of the whole Berto fiasco earlier, man, and then just all this VADA testing. To me, outside of taking some of the, you know, standpoints or viewpoints out there, looking at it from the idea of thinking of, you know, is this going to actually have more and more boxers want to get into, you know, VADA testing? Or since so many of them are starting to get hit so fast, are they going to want to stay away from it because they don't want to ruin their paydays or their paychecks? It's interesting, man, that. And then also, I mean, both of these fights have been Golden Boy bouts. You know, where does Bob Arum's stance on this? And is Top Rank looking into doing any type of testing or getting involved with it? Or are they going to continue to stay with the party lines of, oh, we're going to go with whatever the commission test is?
You know, that's a great question. That's a fantastic question. We've been asked about that even tonight. We haven't spoke to anybody in our part of Leaving the Ring. We haven't spoke to anybody from the Top Rank. promotions. We did call him during what was going on with the Peterson. We did call him. Josh McDaniel, a writer from Leaving Ring, did give him a call, and their statement realistically was, and this is their right, they said, we can't make any statements about a fighter that's not represented by us. And we're not going to talk about a testing that's not under our goings when it comes to a contract of a fight. And they have every right to say something like that. But, let me answer another question when you just mentioned right now. What are they going to do to other fighters that are going to try to shy away or shoulder away from doing the batter testing? Well, two ways about it. One is that maybe they were doing something. In the early stages of this right now, let's be honest, the early stages of batter testing, we didn't know how much this was going to take in toll, how much this was just going to kind of wheelbarrow our sport. We didn't know that. They were telling us there was going to be some outing. Now, in the early stages of this, what's going on right now, Tony, I think a lot of fighters should be afraid. Because right now I'm defending fighters. Let's talk about 6 months from now that batter testing is now taking more serious from promoters, management, publishing, and fighters. 6 months from now, shame on you if you're not caught up to speed on what's going on with our sport, what's going on with these, what's going on with TE ratio. But at this moment, if I was a fighter, Tony, I'd be afraid. You know why? Because I'm not educated as much as I thought I was and what I'm putting into my body.
No, you're 100% right on that. And that's another question I kind of pose too, and I don't try to word it in a negative frame, but is VADA testing too sensitive for right now? And so these fighters are going to getting popped for – Lamont has his possibilities where it doesn't look, 100% like he was trying to cheat. And the Berto claims as well right now, I haven't read the official release yet, but assuming that they're taking that same approach as well, saying that, these type of, getting popped with this, they're not intentionally cheating. So is the VADA testing too sensitive right now? Do we have to learn super fast, as a sport and get caught up to speed? Or maybe there could be some sort of, weaning off of, the whole true understanding. One of the things I asked Gabe earlier was, maybe these fighters need to have some sort of, educational pamphlets or DVDs that VADA can get out there to, so that they can actually be more educated about what's really going on, what they're looking for, and how – whatever they're looking for, how it's going to affect their bodies, and that's the reasoning behind it.
I agree, brother. I definitely agree. Some fight fans are out there asking, are there loopholes? Or is there a way to defeat it? Is there a way of getting around from battle testing right now? It's a new type of testing. It's not that new. It's been around, but the recognition is right now, it's new. Now, is there loopholes? We don't know, man. There's always, nothing's bulletproof. There's nothing bulletproof about anything. There's always going to have reinvention. It's almost like, back when we had cable, you had the cable box that was able to, bypass the pay-per-views. And you were able to get everything, HBO and all the other stuff, for free. They found a way to block that. Now you got streaming. We found a way of getting around that. They're going to find a way of blocking that as well, That's
I just think that carbon ratio, it seems pretty foolproof as far as the, testosterone levels and, being synthetic or not synthetic. But when you start bringing up these trace minerals and other forms of steroids out there, I just wonder, especially when you're dealing with, he's talking about these supplements, that if, maybe it's just a little too sensitive. And I'm not trying to downgrade the idea that, they shouldn't be that hard and not taking that black and white stance on it. But still, at the same time, I think if these guys
you have
sign
every
up
right.
And,
you have yeah, every I, right I, to have a black and white stance about it because everybody else is, like I said, a lot of folks are thinking this is very, very new. You know what though, brother? I'm gonna put you on hold for a minute because I got my co-host on with me.
Yeah,
we got to introduce, Gabriel Montoya, who's, like I said, he's been neck deep. Now, not even neck. I think his head, and I even told him this, I think there's going to be a point. He's going to be drowning in this, and I think he's drowning in it. What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. I was drowning a little bit earlier, you know, when you called. I was like, dude, you know, I'm just almost done with my story. And
well, first off, before you even start going off, I want to congratulate you. I got to congratulate you about the whole editorial for California, you know, Southern California for boxing scene. You know, I think a lot of us, myself, I even text you. I said, hey, there's a reason why I said I'm very proud being your co-host and working along the side of you. Dude, when we see people that tweet out hard work, dedication, that really kind of relates in what you've done. I mean, we talk practically every day, or if not every other day, and we've said this numerous times. We've hung out together. We literally have scared off folks because it's 24/7 boxing. A conversation after conversation. So congratulations, brother. Very proud of you. Like a lot of other fight fans out there, that you're doing very well. You're going to be on Monday night. Let me put this point this out. Boxing Nation in the UK Monday night live. Gabriel Montoya again broke another story, which Scott Schaefer did as well. We got to give him credit, along with a lot of the guys. Yeah, along with other guys.
Dan Raphael and I probably tweeted like within seconds of each other. One of us owes the other one a Coke. But I think it was Scott Schaefer that really, you know, I don't even want to get into the whole game of, well, I knew at this time,
right,
like sooner, you know. My story will actually kind of reveal when I did know. But you know, you kind of expose sources when you start to get in that game. Schaefer was the guy that wrote it first. It doesn't matter if I knew or not. You know, he wrote on Boxing Talk. He didn't timestamp it, but somebody else told me that it was already printed. So good for him. And shit, I just barely filed my story like 5 minutes ago. It's pretty comprehensive. It gives you a nice look into what nandrolone is and really what the actual thing that he got caught with, which is norandrosterone. Which is like a byproduct of nandrolone. Nandrolone is like the parent drug. Norandrosterone is like a metabolite of that drug. There's a lot of information here.
Let me ask you before you go off of that
okay,
subject.
Yeah,
there.
You interview me so I don't ramble, all
right?
Because right. my brain is very tired. So
I know. You know, because I had a lot of folks too. Because we were throwing some stuff out on the Leaving Ring website, and a lot of folks were like, "Well, where's Gabriel's article?" And just to clarify that, a lot of people that were hitting this up on Leaving Ring Gmail. First off, Gabriel, we knew it, like I've said it numerous times. He's been very deep into this. The writers of Leaving the Ring. This is the only way I can describe it. If you're our age, you watch the Looney Tunes. You remember the pet bull, the bulldog with the little chihuahua, and we're like, come on, Spike, tell me a little bit more, Spike. That's exactly how it was right now. And my guys had a run off of exactly what Gabriel, the information that was given to us. We had a run with it, and we kind of followed up. But we knew the meat, because we had the bone, but we knew the meat came from Gabriel Montoya. Now, the drug that you're talking about, what we've heard is the rumor is that James Toney took this when he had a shoulder injury. Is that the same thing that that Berto was taking because of the bicep injury?
No, that's dinazolone. It's a different drug.
Okay.
There's two different drugs that James Toney was taking. Shoot, I'd have to pull him up in front of you. But no, that's a lot of people were saying that it was the same drug as James Toney. You know, he was taking stanozolol. But it's kind of in the same, like, backwoods-ass, like, caveman, you know, early days of steroids kind of drug, you know? Like, it's just not – that's when people say, like, oh, it's got to be Victor Conte. You just don't know your history. You don't know Victor Conte. If you think that he would give somebody nandrolone. I mean, let me put it to you this way. Like, this is all in my article. It should be filed very soon. And I'm kind of working like dual masters here. So there'll probably be – this is more like a dense version. I'm kind of condensing another version to get it out to Boxing Scene, which is – the articles are a little lighter. You know, I'm going to be figuring out how to work these two jobs at the same time. It just so happened, like, I'm like their L.A. guy, and then this giant story broke in L.A., but I've been covering drugs for Max Boxing for like 2 years. So I'm just trying to figure out. I mean, I just wanted to get one article done at least. But so think about it this way. With nandrolone, these traces, like people, you know, they call it trace amounts of nandrolone. That's what he was caught with. And let's just go kind of to the facts of this story. And really in relation to Conte, I'll just get that right out the bat because that kind of it helps with the timeline of Berto.
I know, because there's a lot of folks right now that are just throwing them under the bus. I'm getting a few tweets right now that, you know, Victor Conte has excuses. It smells like a butthole, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't believe them. Even trainers, recognizable trainers that we've had on the show that are saying, this is why, you know, we should never take nothing from him. I'd like you, to kind of clarify that.
They can't have it both ways. Boxing has been living in the caveman days for so long. All of a sudden, these trainers think they're experts on what a guy like Victor Conte does. When, you know, last week, a lot of these guys are calling him secretly to see if they can get his supplements and
right.
work with him. I mean, you can't have it both ways. Victor, to me, I tweeted this out, and I stand by this. I stake my career on Victor Conte's integrity. I absolutely 100% do. I believe that he had nothing to do with this. And you got to look at the timeline, okay? I'm just pulling up my article right now. This is a little preview of it. This is like, what, September 3rd, I think, is when it started. Let me look into my notes here.
While you're looking at your notes, I just want to state out for really quick, and I kind of mentioned this in the beginning of the show, was that this makes no sense. How does a guy that's been parading about the VADA testing, about he's been an advocate of this, direct his fighters – who have looked for him, asked for him for help, and all of a sudden direct them and getting caught? That just makes no sense to me.
It makes zero sense. It is no logic. I mean, and Victor always, you know, talks about, like, hey, I got this second chance, and I really want to help. And boxing is a place where a guy like him could really help. Because I think there's been cheaters lurking there for a long, long time, since like 2000 at least, even further back. I mean, come on. So look at this timeline. For the Zavic fight, this is when Berto and Conte hooked up. And Berto went up with trainer Tony Morgan. They began to get really a hell of an education on their body, training techniques, rest, all that stuff. They went up there July 18th is when that camp opened. There was a September 3rd fight against John Zavic. Everything was fine. They got a hell of an education. I did interviews with Berto. We had him on the show. He was talking about how great it was. But there's a thing with Conte, you know, I think people start to think that they're smarter than they are. Like, I certainly get reminded all the time how dumb I am when he's explaining things to me. And I think you got to keep that humble streak of, like, always wanting to learn. And this is just my opinion, kind of putting things together. You know, we're in the first stages of this story. But I think they got kind of smarter than they actually were. They decided to go down to 10 Goose. And do a training camp down there. I think other elements kind of came into play, by other elements, other people. And you kind of got off program and off track a little bit. It's kind of the similar thing you're seeing with Nonito Donaire. Like, he had the lead-up to the Montiel fight. He had three fights with Victor Conte where he was working at it undisputed. He was just rocking and rolling in great shape because he's very focused and regimented. Victor, you know, has all those supplements out on, like, on a calendar and certain times of day that you're taking everything. Don't take this mineral
right.
with that mineral. But then, you know, Nonito did the same thing, got smart, went to Vegas, started training himself, looked like crap in two fights. Well, guess where he is right now? He's back up at Undisputed. He's training with Victor Conte again and Remy Kurtzschendi.
And we pointed that out.
Yeah.
And we pointed that out when Victor was on. We did tell him that, you know, if supposedly he's on something because Victor is part of that camp, he looked like crap.
Yeah,
and he agreed on it.
You know, and Victor was the same thing. Victor was sending the supplements. Dude was maybe taking them, maybe not taking them. He's just not disciplined. There's a, you know, like Alex Ariza was tweeting about how Conte has always been overrated. We absolutely don't know his history, is basically what you're saying. I mean,
right.
Go to the snack offices. I've been there. It's like the Hall of Shame or the Hall of Fame, the amount of athletes that are on the wall that he's worked with. Some of them were in that five-year period. Some of them were not, like John Elway. Back-to-back Super Bowl wins, and so his nutritionist coach was. Victor Conte, folks. He's done a lot more than you realize. He's done more than Alex Ariza has ever done in his life. I'm sorry, but for him to tweet the things that he was tweeting tonight, I thought it was just absolutely ridiculous, and it showed his ignorance of this subject. particularly a Victor Conte. So back to the timeline. So now they go to Tengus. Dude injures his left bicep. Andre Berto does. They postpone the fight. It's supposed to be in February, right? Now it's, you know, that was supposed to be June 23rd. So they postpone it. He changes camps locations again, heads back to his home of Winter Haven, Florida, where he's always trained. And it's there, May 3rd, that sample was collected, and that's the sample that tested positive. And they tested the B sample as well. That tested positive for nandrolone. So he was taking something. He's already, you know, I think the video of Victor Conte came out with a statement in, that's in my story. And I don't know if anybody's heard it yet, but I can certainly read it if you'd like.
Love to read it. You know, I think if the folks that right now, because I put this up on YouTube.
Okay.
I put it on a couple other things, and a lot of folks that I'm arguing with are on YouTube that are not informed. They're Floyd Mayweather fans, they're Manny Pacquiao fans, or they're casual fans. They're not really understanding this. They're not understanding what VADA testing. They're believing that USADA is really the breakthrough of what needs to be done in the sport of boxing, because the fact is that Mayweather mentioned this. Mayweather's the godfather of this is what we need to do. And I didn't give him credit. And I admit it now, I did not give him credit. I do, and you mentioned something that made a lot of sense. Give him credit because he did throw it out there for the mainstream. But there's a certain amount of credit you got to give him. And like I mentioned, the one guy that he wanted to argue with me back and forth, and I said,
"Were you talking about getting credit?" I'm sorry, I missed that train of thought.
Just with fans, just with particular Floyd Mayweather fans. You know, give Floyd Mayweather credit.
I don't know how many more times, honestly, Dave, that I can give him credit. I don't know if they're reading my articles or they're just reading my tweets and arguing. I mean, that's how I started. I've mentioned in three different articles I can think of off the top of my head, not counting old mailbags when this whole thing started. The guy started it. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
We were talking about drugs before this happened. Well, neither were you, dude. And you know what's further is that I've actually educated myself on this subject. I knew that I didn't know anything about it. And if you read my early mailbags, I was kind of in the middle. I said, you know, Pacquiao is just as big a star. He has a reason. He has every right to not take extra tests. He can just do the commission test. And so we know what these tests are. When I got to Floyd and I asked him about the testing and he got physical with me, that's when I really started to want to be educated. That was the catalyst for all this. And I've actually taken the time to get to know not just terms, but the culture, the politics of it all. I really resent people that think I'm bandwagoning or not giving Floyd credit or trying to steal Floyd's run. I mean,
so
I think I've done
let me
to
play
educate
devil advocate.
People on
let me,
drugs than Floyd has.
Let me play devil advocate with you, okay? Let me play devil's advocate with you, okay? I'm going to use some of the questions that were thrown out there. One of them is that, you know, VADA testing's only been around for a year. Floyd's been asking for this for 2 years. What do you say about something like that?
I would quote Floyd Mayweather when I asked him, why start drug testing now? Well, the internet didn't always exist, did it? You know, we didn't always have electricity. It had to start somewhere. They've only existed for, like, under 2 years. They've caught two people, unlike Mayweather's testing. Next question.
I love that. I love that answer. I do love that answer. Now, contamination is something that Victor Conte has talked about. He tweeted it out, I think, 3 hours ago. Let's talk a little bit about that. What is the meaning of that? Is that a way of him weaving himself out of any responsibility with him with Andre Berto?
I think Victor is doing exactly what he's been doing for the past 5 or 6 years, which is educating the public through social media or just media relations, period. Since the day he was caught, Victor, people don't need to go back and watch like the interviews he gave that his lawyers all told him not to do, where he just came clean with everything. And since that day he came clean, a weight was lifted, and the guy's been doing nothing but telling us the truth. I mean, Marion Jones and Shane Mosley, that didn't teach you guys that Victor Conte was telling the truth? They both sued him, and they lost millions of dollars. And then she ended up going to jail, and Shane Mosley's still kind of shamed by not coming clean. Which guys have been telling the truth and which guys have been lying? And I think that's kind of how you have to look at this. So with the contamination thing, that's very real. I mean, that's one of the studies I bring up is something called it's a paper written in October of 2000 by a professor of biochemistry, Paul May, out of the University of Bristol. And it's called the Molecule of the Month. And it was Nandrolone that month. Now, you know, our Molecule of the Month, that's the name of my article, is going to be Nandrolone. And he talked about contamination in meat. But also there was one really interesting theory that talked about how certain substances like or supplements like protein and creatine, when mixed with like hard exercise, can actually trigger a positive Nandrolone test. So there could be any number of things.
So that was
according to a preliminary investigation at Aberdeen University. They kind of call it the Nandrolone mystery because a lot of people like come up positive with this thing. And it's not just because, you know, I think at some point people were injecting it, but now there's other reasons, and I don't think it's such a, like an old primitive drug that nobody would really be injecting this thing. Not with gels, creams, patches, and all the other, you know, pellets that you can inject with testosterone and nobody would ever catch. It doesn't make sense, you know what I mean?
But take us back, because sometimes, man, look, I've gotten so much flack. Because some folks are like, you know, sign Gabriel Montoya, he's done this, he's done that, blah, 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 blah. And there's a particular reason why you're on Leaving the Ring Radio, you know. And mm-hmm. I've always stand by you. I've always go like, this is the reason why. This is what I knew about you before anybody else, really before anybody else is recognizing at this moment. This last year and this year, there's a lot of reasons. You know, we me and you decided to get together. The Mangalo? see?
Yeah.
Clarify that. Because,
talking.
Yeah, clarify that. Because a guy like myself, who's a blue-collar fight fan, and there's a lot of blue-collar fight fans, bro, we don't understand that. That to us is, that's Chinese, that's Russian. To a guy like you,
well, when you read the article tonight, you know, I write with that in mind, you know, and I went over it and I checked the science for other people, but I also kind of, you know, I make it sense for guys like us. Like, I didn't go to college, so I still had some guy arguing, you don't know what you're talking about. I have 2 degrees. I'm like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And you know what? I didn't go to senior year, so there, you know.
And a lot of people are going to be surprised that you haven't. I mean, you know, when I talked to Modesto Beat,
I'm not
they
ashamed
of the way
that I didn't go to college and then I left high school early. I was too busy. I was 17. I had to go live. I had to go do my thing. And, like, here I am. Like, I don't judge anybody else how they got here. If you're in the room and you're talking, you know what you're talking about, who cares how you walked into the room? So I start the article basically with quotes from this piece called The Molecule of the Monk. And it is... It's like, I just say to the readers reading it, just trust me on this. You like, read the opening of it, maybe even read it a few times. It basically educates you right off the bat. This is what Nandrolone is, because we all know why we're reading this article. We'll get to the details of that later. And there's statements by everybody, Ravandro Arellano, Golden Boy, Richard Schaefer, Margaret Goodman, Victor Conte, and then there's also just my kind of timelining of how things went down according to my sources. So it's really comprehensive, and it kind of just takes you through. So when you're done with the beginning of it, you'll understand. Like, really what he got caught with was just, it was basically what, like, if you took Nandrolone and then your body, you know, metabolized it like it does anything, and these are the trace amounts that are in your urine, it was like a very, very small amount. Like, let me look at the math here. I have it written down, so I don't have to remember it. But it's, like two parts, it's equal to like two parts in a trillion, you know? That's so small. Like a grain
of
sand.
And people got to
like,
understand,
so small,
too.
You can't even see it.
Right.
That's like the trace amount. They actually call it an ultra trace in scientific terms that's in his system. I mean, this isn't like, you don't need to get into carbon isotope ratio testing. That's the Peterson case. This is just your standard steroid, like anabolic steroid urine panel.
They would use it in
WADA, and they're like it's going after like 35 different banned substances in this panel. It's just the standard urine tests.
So let me ask you. So what your WADA or your USADA, would they have caught?
Yeah.
Would they have caught this?
I think even like California or that's a good question, but I'm pretty sure that any of the standard, if like Nevada, any of the standard commissions were doing your normal, like, just WADA-approved drug screening panel or anabolic steroid screening panel, they would have caught.
So how did they screw this up then? Because, you know, I mean, like we had Joseph Diaz on yesterday. I mean, yesterday. And he said, look, I check with the WADA on the category of what I can't put into my system, what is banned, what is legal, what is not, the whole thing. So how does a professional guy that's been, I mean, you know, he's been in the business for a minute, his people have been in this business for a minute, make this mistake?
That's a great question. I think it's just a momentary lapse of reason. I think it's, you know what I think about these two cases, Peterson and Berto? These are two guys that asked for the testing. I don't, and I still don't believe Peterson actively tried to cheat. I think he was misdiagnosed. I really, the more I learn every day, the more I think he was misdiagnosed giving bad medicine. Hopefully that doesn't get me in trouble with Dr. Thompson for saying that if I'm wrong. But that's my opinion. With Berto, I think it's the same thing. I think it's this kind of culture of let's just, you know, take the next best thing to get, like, better. You know, oh, this works? Let me try this. And he's not thinking. That, you know, you got to be very regimented. Like, really what Berto should have done if he wanted to do WADA testing was just stay up at the Undisputed Boxing Gym near Conte. They're doing all the blood work on him and finding out he's anemic, helping him out to educate the guy. I would have finished my education with him over 2-3 fights, done the WADA testing, not introduced, you know. And in Conte's statement, he said, Andre admitted to him that he started taking things that weren't in the program.
So let me ask you this.
Happened. He could have taken some off-brand shit and you know, like the one of the ways that things can get contaminated, say, like, you're buying, like, something that's off-brand, like, black market, and the guy that makes it, even if it's not black market, it's just, like, you know, a mom-and-pop operation making supplements. If this guy makes something with nandrolone in it, but he doesn't clean his equipment, and then he makes the batch that you're buying, you can get trace elements that way very easily.
Well, let me ask you this, and I was saying this a little earlier, that is this just proof that fighters are just not educated enough to understand what they're putting in their bodies, that they're just willing to do in belief that they have a tad too bit trust in the surroundings, that in the environment that they're at, or even sometimes, you know, they got family members, they go, look, man, I found this guy, et cetera, you know, he's legit, let's do it, blah, 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 it's going to help you out, and end of the day, this is what we end up with. I'm not making excuses for Berto, but I mentioned this, in the early stages, like we had Tony Whitley from Punches and Bunches, in the early stages, is it fair, Gabriel, is it fair to say that these fighters, with the WADA testing, which is good because this is a new testing. Now, like, you know, what some Floyd Mayweather fans say, this has only been a year around. Okay, that's cool. Absolutely. But we're finding out right now that fighters are not educated in putting things in their body. They're listening to people that really, honestly, at the end of the day, they're not educated as well. They're as dumbfounded as the casual fan or the blue collar fan like myself.
Yeah, you know, those guys are all—they seem so obsessed with credit for Floyd and the money team, and you know, I really—I don't know if it's like I've grown up is the right word, but like today.
Let's forget all that. Let's forget all about. Let's forget about that.
What I'm saying is they're asking about, you know, the WADA being 1 year old. And I don't know if some of the other side's kind of discrediting. You know, for me, WADA has always been very transparent. They interview with, which is more than I can say for USADA, which I've requested and
right.
I've been ignored. I think it's too soon. Well, I mean, when you say that argument of, well, they've only been around a year. Yeah, but they caught people. They've caught two people in like the same month.
But the proof is that fighters do. But this is my thing. This is my point. Okay, forget the whole fact what Floyd Mayweather fans are saying. Forget the whole fact that it's been a year long. You know, it's only been around for a whole year. My question is this proof that fighters do? They're not aware. They're not educated.
They do not understand what
they're putting in their bodies.
That's exactly the whole thing. And sorry, I've got a lot of like things swirling in my head, so I've probably got like two more articles to write out of this. I think that's we're in a period of education, and I say that in the article. Self-education is key here, that the fans need to read up on stuff. I'm not just saying just read my articles. Read up, you know, all the other ones, kind of compare, contrast, your own research to see if these guys are getting it right. I think there was a lot of bad science out the last time. Hopefully it'll be better because this is an easier drug to look at. But the fighters, yeah, they're just so trusting, man. I remember, like, there's one thing I was thinking of today, like, when I was covering opening training camp day of the Matadors this last year. And they had all, like, their swag, right? Like, they had all their gloves, and they were getting all their uniforms, their trunks for the year.
Right.
And then they were, like, sponsored by this company called T-Bolt Energy Drink. And the energy drink was good. It was, like, whatever. It was a five-hour energy drink type of drink. But they also had, like, these energy pills that I think it might have been the love pills you get at, like, 7-Eleven or something, like one of those. But these guys are just, like, I don't know about the pills, but they were, like, drinking the T-Bowl like crazy. And the trainers were fine. Like, nobody really said anything. And I'm thinking, all of these guys are, like, you know, trying out for the Olympics pretty soon. Rushy Warren's on the team. And I saw him have some T-Bowl. They didn't even think for a second, hey, you know, I'm going to be doing USADA, like real Olympic-style testing soon. Maybe I shouldn't put this in my body until I know what the hell it is. But none of them thought that. And I think this is indicative of that Berto has learned a harsh lesson, that Peterson is learning a harsh lesson as well, that you can't just get diagnosed. You know, it's your body, and your job is your body, and keeping it together and healthy, and then you go out there and you fight with it, with other people, and you risk their lives as well as yours. You really should know what's going on in your body. That's just the bottom line. You know, that's just the absolute bottom line.
Does this scare the
fighters? Today, like, as bad as he felt for, like, both fighters. It was like, you know, but the bottom line is this. And he seemed to even think, like, maybe they weren't cheating. You know, he seems to be a forgiving guy in this. And I liked Richard Schaefer a lot today. His attitude was great. You know, he liked the way how he handled things, but it was like, you know, he kind of got it the second time around. Like, you know what, this is, like, important for the sport. You know, I'll have more from him. There's only an excerpt of our interview tonight. I'll have more for him later on in the evening and into the morning. But
I think
we're all understanding, you know, what the deal is right now. You know, that this is a major change in boxing. This is huge. This is as big as we think it is. Both these sports and the success of WADA, I think, is very significant heading into the Olympics in the summer. It's an amazing time, dude. I don't know about you, but I'm just tripping.
Oh, it is.
You know,
the thing is that, you know, we talk about, you mentioned this the other day, you said, like, you know, breaking stories or things that we just can't. What was that saying that you said that, you know,
there's what you know and what you can print.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and dude, absolutely. I mean, there's so many things, and we've even talked about this on the radio show. If we can go back as just to be fans, I think we all can do it. We all would want to do it, not do it anymore. We all would want to go back and just being a fan. There was a lot of things in boxing that it's pretty dark. It's pretty bad.
I'm having fun today. You know, for a long time, I kind of, like, and not at anybody's expense, really, but just. Like,
you weren't having fun today. I talked to you. You know what?
Yeah.
You're lying. Because you know what? I know you very well. And you know what? I know when you're very stressed. I know your breaking points, and dude, you were breaking. You were very stressed out. You were very, you know, you were all over the place. You know what I mean?
I had, like, four deadlines happening at the same time. And I have another radio show, like, after this in about 15 minutes, and I had forgotten. Like, you just get lost. You know, I get tunnel vision when I'm writing. And
exactly.
And I had, like, literally my phone was, like, every 5 seconds it'd be somebody else texting, somebody else calling. And I was like, dude, like, I already have all my information. Like, unless, you know, something really magical would happen, like, I just need to get to the last three paragraphs of my story.
So 50 more minutes. I just want really quick, because, you know, we're talking about fight, because some people are going to be like, oh, fighters know about this. They do this. And this is a very good friend of our show, Isha Shea Smith. And I saw this on his Twitter. He asked, and he was like, look, maybe I'm ignorant to this. I don't know nothing about this. And this just shows proof. There's a lot of fighters that know nothing about putting particular things in their body. In their body.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You know, there's you have to take care of yourself. You have to, and you know, I mean, just in terms of the supplements you put in, all that stuff. That's why I think we're heading to a point where I think the promoters should, you know, I'm not just making a commercial for VADA, but I mean, they seem to be, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, but they're the proven brand right now, you know. I think that the promoters should start mandating it with their fighters. Like, dude, you know, you guys need to be clean. I know that people are saying, well, yeah, it's going to cost me money, but at the same time, it's a safer sport. I mean, Amir Khan got kind of not saved, you know, I'm not going to try to vilify Peterson, but now he doesn't have to be in with a guy that may have had testosterone in his system. That's pretty awesome. So,
right.
I think we're at a period, you know, I'm just trying to take it all in, of major change. And I think that the promoters, everybody needs to recognize it and embrace it. I like that, you know, I understood Richard Schaefer the first time I talked to him when Peterson broke, how upset he was. He was pissed, you know. I mean, he just lost a lot of money. And everybody wanted to see that fight. And it's kind of a year where a promoter is kind of like a couple fights away from being promoter of the year, you know, and like putting on the best shows. Like, I know that the you know, Pacquiao Bradley is going to probably go off without a hitch, you know, knock on wood. But so their big mega fights will duel with each other. There's a lot of little fights that could have been made. Like an Ortiz Berto 2 was going to be a fight of the year candidate. Peterson
right.
Khan 2 was going to be. It's kind of weird that the rematches like totally just fell apart, you know.
Exactly. Never
happened.
Yeah.
Berto may never get his shot at redemption, you know. Although.
Well, we don't know yet because,
yeah,
I mean, you spoke to Richard Schaefer. We didn't speak to him. You know, now, like I mentioned before, that, you know, we kind of piggyback exactly what you're doing. We had the, you know, Leaving the Ring writers follow up on it. We didn't speak to Richard Schaefer, but we did speak to the matchmakers. And, you know, they were saying, like, at this moment, because it's so early, it's like, you know, birth of what has happened, they have to consume it. They don't understand. They have to kind of follow up on it. And it's going to take some time for them. But I do like that they are talking about that. They're not going to make this card crumble at the Staples. And I think that, I mean, unless you found something else different, that they're going to try to fill up that date for Victor Conte. They're going to try to find an opponent for that. Yeah, for Victor. I mean, not Victor Conte. Victor Ortiz, you know. And I like that.
Right? They're going to put that on the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Now, can he re-block us again? I mean, is there any way of him doing that?
Yeah, I'm blocked. Yeah. I mean, I you know, whatever.
Alex, I know you're listening. Unblock me, brother. I was cool with you. I never said anything bad.
Yeah, it's good by association, I guess. I just think, you know if we're going to be angry at each other, we probably a good place to start would be talking it out, you know?
Well.
I got his number. I guess he doesn't have mine. I guess I wasn't important enough to save. That hurt.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Like that girl that you might call when you were drunk, but not really. And then like,
I know.
Got a bunch of other cool texts, and like my number got bumped down, and I just stopped trying to scroll around looking for that conversation he had with me. That's who I am, to Alex.
I like that.
It's a little sad. I'm a little sad when I really put it that way. It kind of hurts. We used to be really friendly and nice. Like, you know, I got put in the friend zone, and then I got put in, like, the frenemy zone.
Was it the friend zone? I mean, were you ever...
Well,
I mean,
Richard said about the card. and basically, like, Chris Arreola might be on the card now.
Like, I like that.
Then I was kind of hearing, like, you know, I don't really know what's going on. Everything's up in the air. I mean, it's just like I said, it's the first 24 hours. I remember the last time with Peterson, we got about this much information. I probably had more. I knew, like, exact dates, although I'm pretty good on this. I mean, they tested the B sample last night, and results were supposed to come out, like, this morning. And I was supposed to break the story, but I was in the gym, and, you know, my source didn't get the call that we thought they were going to get. And then he got to me, and I heard of it breaking. But Scott Schaefer is the guy from Boxing Talk that really should get the credit because he did it. I don't know how he did it. You know, I'm not dogging the guy. I've heard that, you know, was it Francisco Salazar was telling me. He used to work for Fight News, and he's a quality writer. And last time I got credit for breaking it, and I think some people just kind of gave me credit this time because I did it last time, and that I was close with Dan Raphael. We were like, you know, neck and neck. But, you know, it's not about credit. It's about getting it correct. And I think tonight my story gets it correct. And that's what I'm more excited about, that people want to read and go,
yeah,
you know, let this guy tell us about the next drug that we need to know about. I don't think this one's like an epidemic like testosterone. This is another freak case. That's what's interesting about these, is that both guys asked for the testing and both got kind of caught in like freak cases. Yeah. Oh, shit.
I agree.
Yeah, let's call in Steve Kim. Right now, he just texted me and said, I'm listening.
Okay, call them all in, man. I love to speak to you know, Steve's one of my favorite writers. Love to speak to him. Let's have him on. As, you know, Gabriel calls in Steve Kim. If you're listening right now, we're going to have Steve Kim from Max Boxing. And we always have him on. He's a great guest. And he's going to break some you know he's going to break something up over here.
Steve's going to bust it up to the body.
He's
going to
bust it up
all day.
I know.
He's going to go to the body, and he'll knock it out. Because I'm in a little bit. I don't know if you guys.
He's not a Kareem Mayfield. He's not a Kareem Mayfield. He's just going to look for a big shot. He's a guy that's just going to tear you up systematically. He's going to break you down.
I haven't even seen the fights, man. Everybody's like, oh, they were great. I'm like, thanks.
I know. I get so pissed off that, you know, when I call a fight and I think this is going to be one way, and then it just doesn't happen, you know. But I got to tell you this. I did hit up Serrano's coach, which is Rick James Coward, and very disappointed that his dad did not allow him to stop the fight, man. It's just terrible. But do we have Steve Kim with us, brother?
Yeah, is he there? Steve, are you with us?
Gentlemen. Hey, by the way, Dave, I'm more like Korean Mayfield.
That's funny.
Absolutely, man.
What's going on? Hey, guys, couple of things here. First of all, I can vouch for this. Gabe had this information last week.
I was going to say that. Steve, I was going to say that, brother. But, you know, out of respect, because Gabriel told me, don't say this. Don't say anything.
I'll take that from Steve Kim.
You know what I should have done? I should have done like other writers and just like created a fake account and like broke the news.
I want to know. You know what, Steve? I got. You know what? Now that I got you on, and I wanted to ask you in private. But I don't got your number. But I. You know what? We get so many emails about so many other things, and a lot of folks for some reason think that Leaving the Ring is connected to Max Boxing. And I always tell them, no, we're not. Even though Gabriel's on here, we just don't have that connection. I don't know the insight. But I get so many people go like, what's going on? Why is he saying this? And I'm like, dude, I'm in the dark. I love to find out. Now that we got you on, what's up? I mean, what's going on here?
With what?
What's the latest on the July card? You know, I've kind of tapped out. I've explained all the drugs, you know, that I can.
Well, a couple of things. When we get to the serious part. One of the names that I'm hearing for Victor Ortiz, and by the way, this will be in Gable's story, which will be, you know, updated anytime soon by our beloved Chi.
Yes, her long-suffering Chi.
Yes, Rolando Arellano, I was able to talk to him. He's the manager advisor of Victor Ortiz. And
right.
You know, I suggested just 3-4 months ago. I think one of the mistakes they made, and I know hindsight is 2020. I thought after the first postponement of February, I thought Victor Ortiz needed to find a fight and not wait around for Andre Berto. That was my opinion. And again, it's easy to say that now, but I said it back then because, you know, Victor Ortiz is in the heart of his prime, and you're waiting around for a guy that you beat. And, you know, obviously this kind of blew up in his face, but he made it very clear. We're moving on now, and it's interesting for Rolando. He's been on both ends of this spectrum. He was with Fernando Vargas when he tested positive after the Oscar De La Hoya fight in 2002, and he knows the process. He said, Steve, they're probably going to pull his license. You're going to have chain of custody arguments, protocol, and so they're just going to go with another fight. And the name that I'm hearing, I've heard a couple of names. Carlos Quintana was brought up. He had a big victory over Deontay Lattimore. I'm hearing Showtime is not really keen on that, and I think that's a very tough sell out here in L.A. The name that I kind of like is, from an action standpoint, I think the one that I think could be a good fight, even if it's a little lopsided, I think is Jose Cito Lopez. And that's the one that that's being discussed. And, you know, I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens. I think it's very tough. Guys, I've looked at the ratings, okay? And if you look at 147 from guys like Mike Jones, Randall Bailey, Kell Brook, Carson Jones, guys that you think are viable fights, they're all busy. And they're not getting out of those fights.
Mm-hmm.
And even a guy like Lucas Matisse, who I believe could move up to 47 and give Ortiz a good fight, guess what? He's on the undercard against Roberto Soto.
Was Maidana not available?
Well, Maidana is interesting. Maidana just, you know, obviously, as you know, guys, he began training with Robert Garcia. I had a late phone call tonight from somebody. There might be an effort to make Maidana against Amir Khan July 7th. And so there's an obvious storyline. And they're juggling two sets of balls here because, number one, you know, people have said Amir Khan, Victor Ortiz, is that a possibility? Guys, let me tell you something. Golden Boy is not giving up one of those dates, and they're not going to alienate either HBO or Showtime. Those dates are very valuable.
Right.
They make money off them. They don't put any of their own money up. So that was never feasible. The timing does not work. Kevin Cunningham texted me. It's funny. Every time a fight from 140 to 47 comes up, Kevin Cunningham is always there to text you and say, we'll take that fight. But then it's always on his date and in St. Louis. And I'm like, Kevin, I hate to tell you this. Victor Ortiz is staying at the Staples Center, okay?
Right.
And they said that they want either one of those fights, either Khan or Victor Ortiz in August. Guys, they're going to stay on their date, so Devin Alexander's going to have to wait. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, Danny Garcia, to me, I think they might be overpricing themselves, from what I understand, out of an Amir Khan fight. Now, if you want to sell that fight and they're going to go to Anaheim, the Honda Center, Dave, Maidana, Khan, based on the time frame you have and who's available, there is a storyline, and that's still a very viable fight.
So let me ask you this. So has Golden Boy kind of learned their lesson because of what happened with Lamont and Khan? Because they just kind of threw that out of there. Did they learn the lesson that they can make up with a car that's kind of completely falling apart?
A lot of Heyman-esque stuff. I mean, not Heyman-esque, but praising Heyman for the way he handled this. Because they found out last Saturday in the morning, like 8:30 in the morning, and later that evening is when
you were really low there, brother. I mean, just kind of like illiterate what you were saying.
Can you hear what I'm saying now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I have a new microphone. Okay. Last Saturday morning, 8:30 in the morning, Al Heyman was notified about the positive test. That evening, he told Richard Schaefer about the positive test, and then they basically went about together finding a way to salvage this card. I've heard Chris Arreola mention that he's going to be on the card. That's a Heyman fight. You know, they'll get a nice Mexican fan base to come see Chris beat somebody up. They're going to make a big event, June the 23rd at the Staples Center. But for me, the big question is, who's going to be in there with Ortiz? Is he going to be in there with a bum, or is he going to be somebody that's real?
So that's my question, though, Gabriel. That's my question, though. Has Golden Boy learned their lesson in not letting a card fall apart?
Well, remember, though, in all fairness to Golden Boy, in this particular situation, Dave, they have about 5.5-6 weeks. This other fight, they had 2 weeks. So I mean, it's apples to oranges here. But I believe this, though, and I wrote this last week, and I think Gabe agrees with me. No matter what you use, Avada, USADA, FDA, whoever, there has to be a synchronized effort between the testing organization, private or public, the promoter of record, and the commission. What happened, Dave, last week, and I think Dave expounded on this, VADA had no legal binding agreement with Golden Boy, and for some reason did not want to use VADA. So when Richard, I have to disagree with him here, when he said that they dropped the ball, no, they didn't, Richard. There were certain agreements made over who was to be informed, and that's on Golden Boy. They had a chance to be a part of that agreement.
You're not wrong. And today, you know, it was more about getting the statement. And I haven't printed the whole interview with Richard Schaefer. I want to really transcribe it and look at it. I was kind of exhausted finishing my story, and I was like, you know, this part that I put in there, this story is pertinent. But Richard was adamant that if it went to court, about this agreement that was signed that wasn't signed in the Peterson case that they would win. He feels very strong about that. I don't think Vada wants a fight, though. My sense is, look, we're a young company. You'd cripple us, probably kill us, and we've just caught two people, whereas USADA hasn't caught anybody. Why are you treating us like the bad guy? There's things that need to be ironed out.
It's not even them.
Yeah,
it's not even them. I mean, even fans, even fighters are treating them like that. You know what I mean?
Well, guys, let me make this point. I think people are starting to figure out that USADA, I think to me, and this is just my opinion, I think people are figuring out why Floyd is so wed to USADA and Golden Boy to a certain degree in a case of be careful what you wish for, because during the first round of the Pacquiao-Mayweather negotiations, they came out very strongly and said, we want to be the forerunners for change, and they want to be the crusaders. Well, to me, USADA is a very convenient way of saying you want reform and change, but not
right.
actually getting it. I mean, Vada's batting average right now is very good. And I have to tell you, there's two ways you're going to stop this. Fights from being canceled. Fighters change the culture themselves and do not cheat, or stop testing and go back to USADA and what the regular commissions have. And
right.
I think this has to be an eye-opening situation for everyone involved in the business, Dave.
First off, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. But at the same time, you know, and I was asking this to my co-host here, is Steve, do you believe that a lot of fighters right now, because, you know, we're going to be thrown as we're haters, we're this and that, we're up against, you know, we're not for what Floyd has done. I don't care less, whatever. But my question is this. What has happened right now, and what Gabriel has touched on, is that they have caught two people. Is this a way of kind of showing that fighters are just not educated enough to understand what is going into their bodies?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Dave, you couldn't be more right. And let me tell you what happened. With the Peterson situation, and I like Barry Hunter. I have an immense amount of respect for him and Lamont.
Right.
And I don't think that fight in December was controversial at all. I think the referee did his job, and we were so stunned by it, and we say it's controversial.
Right.
However, the thing that was alarming to me and disturbing, and I talked about this with Gabe at length, I have talked to managers, trainers, and fighters, and when you're going through a big fight where you're going to be tested, it does not matter if you're taking cold medicine, aspirin, Robitussin, Bengay, vitamin C pills, you have to let people know. What
right.
is in your even legal supplements, something can happen and trigger something within your system. That's been proven. And the fact that you're going through an invasive procedure like that, and certain buzzwords like, you know, testosterone, those things should be a red flag. And the
right.
thing that was alarming about the Peterson situation was, if he had low testosterone, which I'm not doubting, the way the doctor stayed within the limit of the ratio, which Gabe has detailed at length on your show and on our website, it's like they gamed the system. It's like they knew what they were doing to stay within the testing parameters. Now, as it relates to Berto, here I have a theory, guys, and you can call me Oliver Stone, but here's what I think happened. I told this to Victor Conte earlier today. We all know last year before the Jan Zabek fight that they went up north and they were under the auspices of Remy Korchemny, Victor Conte, and the Undisputed Gym. And what I think they went through was like a crash course in strength and nutrition and training, and they tried to learn as much as they could and wean as much knowledge as they could from Victor Conte. And if you know what happened there, that's the last time Victor really worked with them full time. And Victor's taking
right.
a lot of heat, and I felt bad for him. What I believe happened, guys, is that Tony Morgan and that whole crew, the father and the brother and all of Team Berto, went there to learn as much as they could in an 8-week period last summer. They believe that they had enough knowledge to start doing this by themselves. And at that point, they started to add supplements that were not approved by Victor Conte. Okay, and it'll start to come out. And I believe that Andre Berto owes it to Victor Conte to say in a public statement, we took supplements that Victor Conte did not approve of. Because I think Victor Conte was walking this tightrope that what if one of his fighters tested positive, like they did today or this last week or so, but he had nothing to do with it. The immediate association is, you know where the finger's being pointed. And listen, I think, and I just said this on Twitter, if you look at Team Berto, this is not exactly a group of brain surgeons. Okay, I made the comparison. Dave, I don't know if you watch I Love Lucy.
I love Lucy.
Where they're working the conveyor with the chocolates, and they get all mixed up. They start stuffing them down their throat, and they can't do their job. And they're that's Team Berto. I'm telling you, if you watch the corner during the Victor Ortiz fight and just the chaos, that is the chocolate conveyor episode of I Love Lucy. If there is a group of guys that just are not as smart as they think they are, that's Team Berto.
Brutal. Absolutely.
And that's my theory, guys. that's my theory.
Great
on what happened.
That is
I agree with you, dude. It's just like the classic, hey, try this thing. How try that, you know, and he just took something crazy. I mean, I'm not going to break it yet. I've heard one rumor. It's just going to make you laugh when you read it. You read it later on this week at maxboxing.com. But, guys, I have to jump to, I have another show. I actually do just a regular sports show called Somewhere on the Edge of Barstow with Sky Dickinson, a writer from Sacramento. So I have to jump over to the other show. You guys can keep talking about boxing. I need to take a little break and talk about like the Lakers and the Heat. So, gentlemen, if you don't mind, I got a jam. But what a crazy day for boxing! I think it's Steve. You've been in this sport for like 14, 15 years. Have you ever seen anything this crazy in 1 month? Two guys that asked for drug testing both get popped.
Well, I guess this is like baseball's version of the Mitchell Report. I mean, I think boxing and MMA and combat sports have had their head in the sand for a long time. We had to be realistic. I think, you know, we mirrored other sports. I think in the mid to late 80s, somewhere along the line, like every other athletic group, the boxers and the combatants decided we needed an edge. And you know which fighters have always been suspicious. Don't want to get a name, don't have the money to get sued. But
right.
To think that boxing does not mirror what happens in the National Football League, Major League Baseball, track or field, I think is awfully naive. And Gabe, you chronicled this probably better than anyone, that the testing protocols and the testing procedures that are currently in place are antiquated and they don't work.
Well, not even that. You know, let's not chronicle. I mean, Steve, let's be honest. All sports right now at the moment – should we not look at them in a certain way?
But here's the thing. Here's the difference. I watch baseball now, and there's a lot of no-hitters and 2-1 games. I have to admit, baseball during the steroids era, boy, that was a lot more fun and entertaining. I like 10-8 games with 800-foot home runs. You know, no-hitters are okay, I guess, once a year. I don't need to see 4 or 5 of them. That's baseball version of Ward Dawson. And I don't really want to see that. Football, you know, these guys are gladiators and they hit each other. The difference is that in boxing and MMA, your goal is to physically damage your opponent physically. It's different. And it's not like hitting a fly ball 20 extra feet so you can hit a home run instead of a ground rule double or being able to run one step faster than the cornerback chasing you. So I've always said in other sports, I kind of understand. It's a wink-wink agreement. We know what we're looking at. In boxing, you could physically damage somebody. And that, I think, is the difference. And, you know, do I believe most track and field athletes are on something? Yeah. But you know what? It's kind of fun when you see a guy run a 9.79 100-meter dash, isn't it? You watch sports at the world-class level to see things that we couldn't do, like dunk a basketball.
Or, fight for 12 rounds. You know, and do it at age 47. I actually don't have to leave. I've just been told by the other guys, like, dude, I understand it's like a seminal point in your sport. Stay with your show, roll with your show. So thank you, Sky Dickinson. You are truly one of my closest friends.
Guys, I have some news here from Rolando Arellano again. Dave, this will interest you. Local guy that I think has a great shot to make a fight out of it. Rolando did tell me they have a verbal agreement for Vicente Escobedo to fight Adrian Broner July 21st on HBO in Cincinnati.
Love it. I think that's you know what? I don't get Escobedo. I give him a slight chance.
Really?
I don't. I got to be honest. I just don't give him that chance. even though he's with Timothy Bradley's trainer, let's just be honest here, man. It's just not going to happen. I like Broner. Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
I think it's a real fight. I think he's a much taller, bigger guy than Eloy Perez, who I mistakenly thought had a chance. I was wrong. But, you know, listen, before we crown Adrian Broner, guys, we have to remember, it was just over, what, 15 months ago that he may have lost to Ponce de Leon. We got to keep
never crowned him. You know what? I've never crowned him. I've never said that he's the truth. I've never said that he's the next big thing. In all honesty, Gabriel, huh?
They talk about him. They revere him. When you talk to guys out of the Midwest or out of Cincinnati, they talk about him. Like, you know, he fights like guys the size of Ty Fields, only good, and beats them down in gyms like all across the South. But when it comes time to pick an opponent, they're still handicapping him. But Chente has figured some shit out about himself. He's that right hand, the jab is nice. He's just got a nice presence in the ring now. I think it's a hell of a fight. I'm really excited about that fight.
I'm just saying that in my opinion, if you take away the two Japanese champions who are never going to fight here, okay, this is a very weak division. I've been saying that for about 2-3 years, that the days of Marco Antonio Barrera, Eric Morales are over.
Right.
And out of the realistic makeable fights at the HBO American level, I think Vicente is as good as you get right now. And that does not make Vicente a great fighter, but remember, most of his losses have come at 135. And
that's
remember, size was a huge factor against Eloy Perez.
That is very true. You know, the only thing that I can think of about Vicente is that I go back with, even with losses, that you have to have some self-doubt. And regardless of whatever, you have to understand that you're stepping up. And with Broner, even though he hasn't really proven, even with Eloy Perez, I picked Eloy to beat him because I thought it was a big step for Broner. But at the same time, I don't know if Vicente understands that he may be a little bit more experienced because he's still learning with the Diaz camp. He's still understanding that his capabilities, he's understanding that his height. That to me, just like tonight with Serrano, that can really just, you can fail at it. You can honestly fall apart.
You know, and that Serrano fight, that what you just said right there is proof that boxing isn't fair. I worked my ass off all day. I write this article, you kind of break the story, and I get like a good ass fight spoiled by people on Twitter telling me how it should end.
Oh, guys. One other thing here. June 30th, it looks like Nonito Donaire has finally found a date that's going to stick. He's been slotted, I think, on every weekend during the summer within the past month or so. It's gone between HBO and Showtime, June, July, August. As of now, I think this is going to stick. He's going to fight June 30th, and the fight I think they're trying to nail down would be a unification tilt between the South African that just recently won that title, the IBF belt against Takanami Nodlovu, would be Jeffrey Mathbula. And opening that card, it looks like will be Brandon Rios against Mauricio Pereira. It does not look like Brandon Rios right now is in the thick of things for Juan Manuel Marquez on July 14th.
I'm happy about that. Honestly, I mean, if he's going to get Mauricio Pereira, I mean, should we be mad about that? I like that. I actually like that fight.
No, I do too, because Herrera showed one thing against a very good Mike Alvarado, who was the best fighter on that card that night.
Right.
Is that he's a game gutty guy. He's got hand speed, and he's very tough. He's a legitimate 140. I think now, guys, this is a litmus test for Brandon Rios. He's not going to just be this big, strong 35er or plus who can just out-muscle people. Now he's going to have to kind of be more or less on equal ground physically, and we're going to see what happens. And, guys, in terms of July 14th, believe it or not, I think the fight that they want, and I don't know if it can be worked out. There's still a lot of issues. And maybe we're seeing a thaw in the Cold War, or maybe it's just a shotgun marriage. Marquez, I think the fight that they're trying to make is Eric Morales. A great fight, except for the fact it's about 9 years too late.
And you know what? I agree with that. We talked about that. Right.
Wow.
Gabriel, we talked about them. 10 years too late. You know what, though? With Rios, though, getting Mauricio. I mean, listen, I agree with you, Steve. Absolutely. You know, the thing is that he's got to prove there's explosion. Because the last time that we saw him, a lot of fans were disappointed. You know, when we want to go to watch a Western film, we want to either see two things, explosions in a Clint Eastwood film, and shootouts. We didn't see that.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Steve. How insane is it, you know, Marquez versus Khan?
You know, here's the issue, though. And which I found strange.
Is that even a good fight? You know.
No, I don't think it's a good fight. Also, Marquez. Here's what I find interesting about Marquez, and I've been told this by several people about the enigmatic, you know, Nacho Berestain, who I've always said one of the best trainers in the world. Problem is, he's probably one of the worst managers. Okay, and I've talked to people in the business that have dealt with them.
Right.
Okay, so you got the best of times, the worst of times. Okay, There's a couple people at Top Rank that said, Steve, if he wants the Pacquiao fight and is there waiting for him in November, why the hell is he fighting at all? Now, I look at it the other way. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I think fighters should fight. Okay.
Right.
As of last week, they really wanted Zab Judah. I still thought was dangerous. And the thinking was, guys, well, we want a southpaw to give us a look at Pacquiao and get used to it. I'm thinking to myself, hey, guys, you've been 36 rounds with Manny
exactly.
Pacquiao, and you've probably won 25 rounds against Pacquiao,
yep.
And you probably won 8 rounds in November. You know what, Nacho? I think you figured him out. I don't think you need, you know, Pacquiao light. And I thought, to me, Rios was the best fight from a sellability standpoint. Now, you couldn't do Hesta. Marfito Hesta, to me, I heard was ruled out early. Because
yeah.
When Top Rank's putting up their money, they said we couldn't do Hesta. And what I was told tonight was that Hesta may fight Miguel Vasquez on that undercard. Now, let me tell you something. That's a tough fight from Mauricio Hesta. He may need a stepladder to hit that guy in the head. Okay? So, and I guess Alvarado is going to also be on that card. So my question to you is, guys, let's say they do the M&M boys, Marquez Morales, Mauricio Hesta against Miguel Vasquez, Mike Alvarado against a decent guy, and one other fight in Dallas. Do you think that flies with the public? Does that promotion do well?
I can't even answer that. You know why? Because I don't even know what the public even wants anymore sometimes. You know? Sometimes we mention things that we think that the public don't even want to hear, and it turns out to be they want it. I mean, Brandon Rios versus Gamboa, a lot of folks wanted to see that fight. I didn't want to see it at all.
I had no interest in that fight. Well, I think Mike Alvarado, though, is guaranteed action, dude. If you're a
That's
fight
a great,
fan,
yeah, that,
and,
that
and
is
you,
a guaranteed
if you
action.
Can't get excited for Mike Alvarado doing anything, then you're not a fight fan. You know?
Right. Well, hold on. Dave, I got to ask you this before I get out of here. Are you the one guy that me and Gabe know that is excited about Andre Ward, Chad Dawson?
No. I'm the one guy that people that says I don't love the science. I'm the one guy that people are going, oh, you don't love to see Sweet Science if you don't want to see Andre Ward versus Chad Dawson. I'm like, no, dude, I'm the one guy that doesn't want to be on Prozac.
Yeah, you know, Andre Ward to me I'm mixed on Andre Ward. He's very good at what he does. But you're right. I think there's like this thing that we all have to like Dave. I agree. There's groupthink here. Like it's peer pressure to think I love Andre Ward. What if you really don't? It's like to me. If there's that hot trendy restaurant and I walk into it and I think the food stinks, I'm not going to treat it like it's the Barstow Del Taco. I just give me the Barstow Del Taco. I don't need the overpriced food that's $80 and I get half a plate of spinach. I think it's a very intriguing fight, but I will say this. Putting a style, I think Chad Dawson's one of the few guys that could really give Andre Ward a good fight.
One of the few
thank you for ensuring that Andre Ward will never come on this show again. But
No. Let's point this out. You know, Steve, I've been blocked by Alex Ariza by association. I'm just going to make this known. Andre Ward, Chad Foster, they're going to block me by association with Steve Kim right now.
Well, I mean, here's the issue that I have with that. That's the type of fight that they need to reopen the Silver Dome, okay? Because I think it's a bigger version of Bradley Alexander, a quote-unquote important fight.
Right.
That people who know nothing about the business will tell you it needs to happen or it's a great fight and it just fails miserably.
Exactly.
Here's what I think needs to happen from HBO's standpoint. If you're going to make this fight, number one, don't spend too much on it. You have to understand that the marketplace dictates that you're overpaying most of your product, and that's been proven. Number two, I would tell Dan Goosen and Gary Shaw that you cannot stick this in an Indian casino or the Silver Dome. Make this an event. And in my opinion, Andre Ward deserves now to have, if you're going to make him the next American star, which I've been told, fine, whether you agree or disagree, Dave, you got to stick that event in the Oracle at Oakland, because now
you have the chance
to make that into a local event where you sell tickets, okay? Now, in truth be told, Andre Ward's attendance, if you go by the official numbers, his last three fights have all declined. That's a fact, because the opposition has not been up to snuff. Now, you go to Chad Dawson, you make it an HBO event, two of the best fighters in the world and their respective divisions. If you have it in L.A., I don't think anyone's going to show up. Atlantic City, you'll have a lot of casino comps. But if this is a challenge to my old friend Dan Goosen. If you say you're the promoter you are and you have the modern-day Ray Leonard or the next Floyd Mayweather, you got to give him a chance and you have to promote him. Just don't be a booking agent or a television packager, because at that point you have Chad Dawson. So that's the one thing that I'll say, that at least do this event the right way and give it a shot. And you never know, we might end up with a good fight.
You know what?
I think Chad Dawson can give Andre Ward a lot of problems. And I think
he kind
of looks at him on the same tier as Hopkins, only they're more in the same generation. But it's the same thing. I got to knock this dude out to be impressive. And I think he was on his way there in the first fight with Hopkins, and he kind of lost some fire in the second fight.
Well, we're not talking about
way
that.
Too much.
We're talking about putting butt in the seat, though.
To him.
Right. We're talking about, though, people selling out, people coming down to watch a fight. And
so I think they do it in Oakland. You got to do it in Oakland. Honestly,
I got to tell you the truth. I don't think Oakland does very well with this as well because, I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, when's the last time? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here. When's the last time you've seen two Americans sell out an arena? When's the last time you've seen two Americans sell out half of an arena?
No, but you know what?
When's the last time we built to a fight correctly?
Well, no, that's another issue. I agree with you. And Andre Ward, I guess, got upset at me because I pointed out that, in my opinion, they are squandering the momentum, whatever it is, of the Super 6 victory. They did. I don't think people really care about Andre Ward. And the bottom line is, Showtime basically said, we'll keep you at the right price. But Steven Espinoza said at the end of the day, there is a point of diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. And he let this fight go. But... you know, listen, do I expect Dawson Ward to sell out like a Golden State Warrior L.A. Laker game? No.
No.
But if you do 10,000 to 12,000, that is a significant crowd.
But that's
and, Dave,
not going to
happen,
though.
One of his fights. Well, no,
but that's not
going to
happen.
I'm saying you've got to give it a chance, so I'll tell you why. At least in Oakland, you can do 7 to 8. I think you can do a little bit more if it's promoted correctly.
Yeah, that's if it's promoted
correctly.
But we're talking about a basketball town that's not a fight town. I mean, let's be honest here. Even when Ward was fighting, there was no billboards. There was no build-up. There was no commercials. There was no mainstream advertising.
You mean promoting?
Any of the fights.
In other words,
nothing.
No promoting.
There was no promoting whatsoever.
No, but Gabe, you were out there for the Edison Miranda fight a couple years ago, right?
Yes, I was.
Didn't they have 8,000 to 9,000 that night?
I don't know if they had 8,000. I mean, I won't sit there and say they had that amount.
I thought it was like 9,000.
Because here's what worked for Andre Ward, okay? Even though he's been horribly underpromoted, I think, recently, I think the Showtime Super 6, in terms of its stated goal to create a star, failed miserably. The ratings weren't good. There's diminishing returns in terms of the attendance in the United States. But in 2008 and 2009, if he could do that much against Edison Miranda, when he was a relatively unknown guy and unproven,
right.
Now he's on a run. He's had a very strong run in the Super Six, considered one of the best fighters in the world. Now fighting another well-respected, if relatively under-promoted fighter in Dawson, taking him back to Northern California in a big HBO event, which I believe will be his return to HBO after his pro debut way back when. I think this event, again, and Dave, I know your point, but if it is promoted, because believe it or not, Dan Goosen, I remember him putting 7,500 people into the Home Depot Center for the Paul Williams Margarito fight, and I
right.
give Dan Goosen credit. They did a hell of a job promoting that. I mean, they had posters, they had flyers, they did media workouts that were in the public. But Dan Goosen isn't just living off Al Heyman's purse strings. Dan Goosen could still be a good promoter, but, like, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
like most of the puppeteers that work under Al Heyman, they become very lazy. So I think this is a test, once again, can Dan Goosen recapture his mojo as a major league promoter?
Look, I'm not saying that he cannot do that. That's not what I'm saying. Absolutely not. Because you know what? We saw a lot of fans come out to the Bay Area. We're talking about a lot of cities that are surrounded Oakland. You know, and a lot of times that Oakland, when even when they have the Warriors play, it's not the Oakland that is selling it out. It's all of the towns and cities that are surrounding them. But this is my whole case. And I've had a lot of people, because I said this is not a good matchup. I don't like it. And a lot of folks
I don't either.
A lot of people are telling me, don't hate on this. Don't. I'm not hating. I'm saying, this is my whole.
Can
right
we bury
here.
The word
it's,
hate? The hate?
Yeah.
If somebody says hate, they're just an idiot.
It's
okay,
dumb. I don't like the match because it's not a good match. Andre Ward, if you're trying to set him up to lose, come on. This is a big kid. He's a light heavyweight. He's southpaw. I'm sorry, guys. Andre Ward has a particular style that's going to work for particular things. It's not going to work against Chad Dawson.
No, I agree. And, Dave, I'm just saying, this is a bigger version of Bradley Alexander, where you try to microwave a star and it'll concede from the beginning.
Yep.
But I was at the Allen Green fight, okay? That was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, okay?
I saw you there.
And
right.
Allen Green was a late replacement, got called out of the bullpen. And
right.
I still remember there was about 7,500 people there
right.
at the Oracle. And people had a good time. Now, it turns out they had a lot of freebies. They paid for the house. But I'm saying regardless of the aesthetic value of Ward Dawson, I think that HBO has to make it clear to both promoters that there has to be a certain amount of expenditure on your end to make this the most sellable product possible. And then do everything that you talked about, Dave. Billboards, posters, flyers, giveaways, radio spots, open workouts, open press conferences, because I think if HBO
That's a lot
believes,
of money, Steve.
That,
honestly, that's
is,
a lot of
but,
money. I mean, let's be honest here, and I think you can tend to agree with me that they had a up running, and even when you came down, let's be honest here, you were not impressed. I talked to you
I
right
not,
after the
you
fight.
Know what? Dave, let me tell you this, and this has been my biggest criticism of TV packagers, and you know who that crew is.
Yeah.
It is a lot of money, but let me tell you something, and I did a story a couple of weeks ago where Steven Espinoza of Showtime said, if I am giving you a license fee of seven figures,
right.
is it too much to ask that, A, you don't shoe match me to death or put it in some other godforsaken Indian casino or a ballroom
right.
with 2,000 people, and B, I expect you to promote it. And this is the thing that gets me. People can say what they want about Top Rank Boxing, but I know for a fact that they are one of probably the only company on a consistent basis, and you can see it in their lighting, their staging,
right.
and the production of their events. They will actually take money out of their licensing fee that they get and throw it back into the product. And I've been told that by people on both sides of the business, okay? That needs to happen more. And it's not an accident that Bob Arum and Top Rank have continually produced one attraction after another, whether it's Cotto, Mayweather, De La Hoya, Chavez, Pacquiao. Guys, for a guy that's killing boxing, he sure is creating a lot of ticket sellers, isn't he?
Right. I mean, he definitely created a ticket seller for a guy that left Top Rank not out of being despised or not feeling that he can't make any more money. He ended up creating another great pay-per-view for a lot of people to tune in, right? Miguel Cotto.
And Dave, you don't have to sell me on how bad you think Ward Dawson is. I made the comment on the next round to Gabe, who almost fell off the couch,
right,
that if Ward Dawson is somehow placed in L.A. like Dan Goosen talked about, and it's, let's say it's at the Staples Center, which
it's
me and
worse.
Gabe literally live 5 minutes from the Staples Center,
right.
I told Gabe, you better find your own ride, because I'm staying home watching college football that day. I'll just DVR the fight.
You know, and I'm a big Andre Ward fan.
The funniest thing about it is, he's not kidding.
Kidding, guys. I'm being completely serious.
Not freaking going.
I'm a big Andre Ward fan. I'm a big, huge supporter for a lot of Bay Area fans, you know. And when I pick against you, there's a reason behind it. Like, I pick against Kareem Mayfield. I love Kareem, but there was a reason why. And hopefully he forgives me, you know. But when I do,
he's a fighter.
Yeah. I mean, like I always say, look, man, at the end of the day, this is our job. We have to analyze it. We have to break it down. And we have to pick what we see. Andre Ward.
Yeah.
If you're going to be upset or any of his fans, you're going to retreat what we say. There's a reason why we're saying it.
I think Andre will be fine.
There's a reason why. You know,
here's the thing.
I follow Steve Kim for a reason.
Here's the thing.
Oh, no, we egged him on. You almost forgot about Andre Ward. Now you're
The thing about Andre is this. He doesn't like me, which is fine. And that's okay. My job. No, that's absolutely fine. I would tell Andre, see that big long line that looks like the DMV? Yeah, get in the back of that line. Because I absolutely refuse to pander to the lowest common denominator of fans and say what the public wants. I'm going to be true to myself, and I'm going to say what I think is the truth. And I'm not going to just say things to look like, oh, my God, that guy's fighting for the fans. Or he's really a true fan. You know, honestly, I'd rather be a smart fan than a true fan. And to me, just screaming the loudest and saying stuff like best versus best, get rid of the sanctioning bodies and top ranks ruining boxing, just to be like that guy that gets in line with groupthink, I'm not doing that because that wouldn't be honest. And I give Andre Ward credit. He's good at what he does. And just like he doesn't have to like what I write, I have to like the way he fights. And that's okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be a Steve Kim fan. You know? And Dave, you have to understand, you have a job to do. And I find it strange that fighters take predictions so personally and they hold it against you.
And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. And, you know, and like I always tell people, you know, if you don't like the people that I'm affiliated with, you don't have to follow them. You know, I have tons of people. Not only do they email me or they call me, they are not happy with Gabriel Montoya. They hate him. They just don't want any part with them. And like I always tell them, if you don't like what he has to say or you don't like what he writes, guess what? Don't read it or don't be part of what we do. That's just the way it is. I follow you for I follow Steve Kim for a complete reason. I love what you tweet out. Do I read your football? I don't, because I don't follow football. But I tell you what, I'm educated by it. So when I go to when I go to a party, when it's a college ball party or it's a college football, hey man, at least I know what the hell I'm talking about because I read Steve Kim stuff.
And Dave, if you're ever at Raphael's in Montebello, you know exactly what to order. The steak Picado or the number 3 combination plate. You cannot go wrong, people. The Kimster would not lie to you.
The Kimster would not lie.
I said I follow you. I didn't say I was going to defend you. Okay, I'm not going to.
That's fine.
Well, guys, I thought it was funny that I don't understand people. I've never asked for a retweet. I've never asked for anyone to follow me. I think it is to me the weirdest thing that people who hate you and want to heckle you follow you, and they don't understand. See, I'm much more liberal with the block button than anyone because I wish it was more like real life. I have a theory about Twitter. Your Twitter timeline is like your house party. It's your rules. It's your house. And if some guy is out there with muddy shoes walking all over your Persian rug, you got to get out of here. Or
like
you're that guy, that's like taking too long on the bong hit and not puff puff pass it, you got to get out of here. Or you're the guy like, you know, you don't know how to like work the keg and you got all this foam and, you know, and you're taking up all the beer. Or you got to get out. And my boy said, the timeline to me, if you dumb it down or you're disrespectful, your whole goal is just to be antagonistic. First of all, you have a sad life. You right. really do. And I feel sorry for you. and there's much more help that you need that I can provide. And you're just there to be argumentative and to prove a point. You have to understand one thing. You follow me. I don't follow you. It's much right. easier for me to block because I don't give a damn what you have to say. And you don't have to necessarily like what I have to say, but I've always said, even on Twitter, even with the anonymous nature of the internet,
right.
I'm still going to talk to you the way I would talk to you face to face. And for the most part, you know, and if you want to be rude, I'll just block you. People don't understand that, to me, you show a lot of your character in the way you deal with people, and if
right.
your whole job is to cuss people out, be a jerk for the most part. And I saw where Steve Blake's wife a couple nights ago got death threats. That's sad.
Right.
That is
yeah.
sad.
Well, I had like some guy tonight arguing with me. You know, I know more than you, and you're defending Conte the Con, calling me pal. And I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm at a point. I used to be known for the Twitter war and getting angry at people. Now I just, like, dude, I'm freaking busy right now. My phone is exploding. You know, I'm getting emails
yeah.
every 5 seconds and calling people. I got a job to do. Block. You're gone. You don't have my knowledge, and you don't think I'm full of shit and you know everything? Cool. Enjoy that world.
Yeah.
And you know what's
funny?
You know what's funny?
The thing that bothers me about that situation is people, I'm reading Victor's timeline, and they're saying, oh, you work with Andre. Guys, he didn't. So,
he did. Right.
First of all, not only are you an imbecile, you're not even factually correct. He really has not worked.
He's been, you know, well documented
right.
training at the Ten Goose, and now he's been in Winter Haven. You haven't seen any videos coming out of the Ten Goose because he's in a totally different gym. Keep up. You know, if you're going to be
right.
a boxing fan and argue with me with a boxing writer whose specialty is covering this particular area of the sport, you got to bring your A game. You got to already be caught up. I can't explain shit
right.
to you. Just read my articles.
It's like that old saying from one of the classic sound bites from Jim Mora. You don't know. You think you know, but you don't. And you never will.
Absolutely.
In other words, you don't even know what you don't know. And so,
you know,
well,
I don't know I'm never going to know in this sport. I get that. You know, there are certain things that happen.
Oh, by the way, guys, before I get out of here, I got to get your opinion. Let's go with Dave first. What did you think of the fight game with Jim Lampley?
You know what?
Dave, come on, Dave. Be honest. What did you think of that show?
I'm going to tell you the honest truth here. And like I automatically, and this is the honest truth, and Gabriel, don't lie. I know he won't. He won't lie.
I
called him up.
I haven't seen him.
Because you know what, Steve? I follow you. And I listen to everything you do, and I love everything that you tweet out. So when the first time, I didn't watch it when it premiered. I listened to what you had to say, and I had some mixed feelings. I did like some of the things that he was doing, but I did agree with a lot of the stuff that you were saying. And I told Gabriel that. I go, you know what? Was it what we were looking for? And was it really, honestly, was it refreshing? Was it new? No, it wasn't. He was piggybacking off a lot of stuff. But I got to tell you this. I love the fact that you called out Max Kellerman. I love the fact that you were calling out Schaefer and Arum. You were telling Jim Lampley, dude, put them in the same room. You want to make a difference, do it in the same room. Don't do it in separate rooms. That I love. That I've always liked about you, that I've always admired about you, that you've always, you know, it's straight up, it's get to the point, don't jerk me off and leave me hanging there with my pants down.
You know, the interesting thing is I love all these people. I got at least penny notes and comments. Dude, Steve, what was wrong with Arum? He was kind of stumbling and what's wrong with, guys, he's 81.
Hey, no, is he ready to kick over?
He's going to have a bad day. He's 81 years old.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with him.
And
Steve, I was telling
Boston
I told
older
Gabriel.
Than evil, you know?
Right.
Older
Gabriel.
Than evil should have a little bit of a limb.
No, not even that. I called Gable and I go, I told Gable this. I said, brother, I think this guy's ready to kick over. Is it bad for us to even believe that this is the end of 2012 for him? It took him 30 minutes. It was 30 minutes, just almost as amount as Sugar Shane Mosley was throwing a punch towards Manny Pacquiao. It was 30 seconds to answer a question.
Let me say this. Those satellite interviews, I've done them before. The reason why his answers were delayed, and also Schaefer's, is that by the time you hear the question and it gets through, the way it travels, and there's a little bit of a delay. So you're not going to answer quickly. But I do think Bob had a bad day. Because I have to tell you, I talked to Bob a couple of times in the following week,
right,
and he was very lively, especially with this Pacquiao situation with the whole gay marriage. I mean, Bob did a classic Bob. It was Aram-Araming when he said about Pacquiao he's a practicing Catholic. He's a preaching Catholic. He's an evangelical Catholic. Whatever the hell that is. But he's a Catholic. You know, I mean, Aram was very lively. But there are days when I can tell you, when Bob answers the phone, I know, Steve, you better get off this phone. He's not long. And there's other days you talk to him a lot. Schaefer's a little bit different because he's much younger. My thoughts on the show were this, guys. I think, number one, it was a little bit too slow moving. It was the slowest paced 30 minutes I have ever seen since the last Chad Dawson-Bernard Hopkins fight. It's
really?
Forever. Had no pacing towards it. I needed a faster pace. I need more highlights, more clips. Also, I thought the first half of the show, to me, they tried to make Pacquiao Mayweather, but they were bracing us for Mayweather against Robert Guerrero, if you listen to what Richard Schaefer was saying. And Dave, as you're saying about Max Kellerman, I couldn't disagree more with Max. He said, oh my God, I think Pacquiao Mayweather's closer than ever to happening.
Right.
Really, Max? Most other people will tell you from the inside, it's not going to happen this year. It's not really close at all. And his statement that Amir Khan hunts out people, the toughest challenges. Guys, last year he took on Paul McCloskey, okay? The Tim Bradley thing, he wanted that fight, I give him credit. But when he said he went hunting for Lamont Peterson, he went to D.C. to do it. Here's the fact.
Outed him out on that, and I completely agree with you. You outed him out. There was a lot of things.
Was an IBF mandatory.
Right.
He had to do it, and the reason why they went to D.C. was he was invited to a White House dinner several months before he met Hillary Clinton, and it worked out well. They thought it was a real good spot because there was an Arab community there. Also, in Las Vegas, Dave, I know this for a fact, they gave away rooms and tickets for his fights against McDonough and Judah because they bombed. That's the fact. And one last thing I got to say, guys, and that show to me just had me scratching my head, and I really respect Jim Lampley, and I know it's an opening effort, and I hope it gets better. But, guys, when you think of a Gaddy list, right, do any of you put Floyd Mayweather on top of it?
Nope. Well, other than that, it was like Floyd's a Gaddy list.
I mean, that's like saying, Dave, give me some great actors, and you put at top of your list Pauly Shore. I'd be like, what? Pauly Shore?
Just really quick. I got to add this in really quick. And this is what I love about the show. You know, the Twitter is very active with the show, and one of our Twitters, Resto One, I don't like neither one of you, Gabriel Montoya, Steve Mad Boxing, and 97 Rough, which is myself, but I love this show, and we appreciate that.
You know what that means? Three negatives add up to a positive.
That's
guys, listen, I got some stuff to do. It was a lot of fun, man. Let's do this again more often.
Too.
Absolutely,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Show. I like it.
Because I can tell you right now, we could keep you here till 6 in the morning. And but
as long as the goose is flowing, Steve is flowing.
Yeah, exactly. Steve,
hey,
all brother.
All right, so guys, have a great night.
You.
Great show, guys.
Thanks
a lot.
Follow.
I'm going to walk until I find a cab. And then that would be the limit because I'm heading into the Hollywood Nights, but I'm not ready to go yet. This is a crazy show.
I know, and I just want to know people that when you call in, you can call in 347-215-7598. Follow Steve Kim at Steve Max Boxing on Twitter. You can definitely follow him. You can follow Gabriel Montoya at Twitter, and you can follow Leaving the Ring.
Gabriel _Montoya.
M-O-N-T-O-Y-A.
And I'm going, it's not that I'm going to party in Hollywood right now. I'm not like Mr. Joe Cool. I actually work at a night job as a prostitute. So I'm actually kind of late for work. I gotta find a cab.
I'm gonna let you know.
I'll probably take a beating when I get there.
Right. And if you're rolling up to Gabriel Montoya to be a John, this is the music you're gonna hear when you roll up to him.
That's funny. That is funny. The dark cloud. The black cloud.
The black cloud. The dark cloud, you know.
Well, Ernie from Everlast has rechristened me the since the Peterson thing and all this, the Dark Knight. So that's the new nickname.
I like the dark cloud.
I know, I like the dark cloud. Yeah. I earned it. It was the black cloud. That's what they used to call me when I was working at Spelman at Mondrian. Just kind of dark humor. Took the energy out of the room.
That's just a great. I mean, it makes people think twice if they want to call in. You know.
Can we take some callers? Do we have any callers waiting to talk?
You know,
I think
callers were listening and
they all hung up.
Consuming it, yeah, because we had a lot of callers all at once. And they were holding off for a very long time. But I think a lot of callers, too, they were like, I mean, we had, like right now, I'm looking at our Gmail. They're like, man, just keep what you're doing. You guys answered everything else.
I think we really covered it all tonight. I mean, it's my article's out. I tweeted out during the show. Andre Berto test positive for the molecule of the month. Nandrolone on Maxbox.com. There will be another article later. Through the night on Boxing Scene. I actually have to, I'm late for an appointment. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'm heading out, and then Boxing Scene will have stuff throughout the night now that I'm kind of in my new capacity. That's probably where the Richard Schaefer interview that I did earlier will pop up in its entirety. Like I said, you know, I'm doing this. This is kind of new. It was, you know, Rick Reno, the owner of Boxing Scene, and I have been talking kind of off and on for a few months and about finding him a writer for L.A. And this all went down. He finally just kind of asked me to do it, and I figured, why not, you know? But it's going to be a different capacity. Kind of try to keep up with more like the Steve Pace, kind of more of a notebook thing. I'm really just kind of figuring out how to – because I don't consider us rivals. I've never – you know, that's the reason I'm on the show. You were talking about that. There's a reason I'm on the show. And you remember when I first joined the show, I did probably like – 5 or 6 other shows, for however many other shows there were, I did them in like a week span. And it was me kind of just introducing myself because I was new to Twitter. I had no idea Blog Talk Radio existed. And I was just saying hello to everybody. Like, all right. You know, I've been like in the forums. I thought that's as far as it went. But it was, you know, I didn't know about YouTube. So I introduced myself to the community. And I've always thought of us as a community. There's no... I know Fight Hype and I have, like, beef or whatever they think they do, or they're angry at me. I don't look at the world that way. I mean, I make my jokes, Floyd Hype, and maybe that's rude, and I'll probably have to iron that out with Ben Thompson in person, who's always, I consider somebody to be a friend. There was a little personal thing that happened, and I think that's where we got off on a bad track. But
I think that came off a bad track because before Ben Thompson started hosting his own show, and before
I didn't even know he
Waller.
Had a show. But
yeah,
he was told this week.
His other people, which was a young kid before that.
Oh yeah, I mean,
yeah.
That,
you know, he took
really
a shot at us.
With,
you know,
it was just what's between Ben and me is between us. But
yeah,
that was kind of unfortunate. You know, I heard what I heard the other night, and was like, that's kind of a bummer because that, when I was in L.A. early on in my career and when I first got here. And Ben was a guy I talked to often and at great length, and considered to be something of a, not of a mentor, but somebody I learned from, somebody I definitely bounced things off of. And he's a good guy. He works really hard. I mean, I don't agree with their coverage over there. I really don't. That's why I called him Floyd Hype. But I'm not saying he's a bad person. Any more than I'm saying, like, Floyd Mayweather,
right.
I point out a connection that he has to Don Hale, you know. I just point things out. That's what I do. It's my job. I'm a reporter.
Yeah, no, so, most definitely. I mean, there's plenty of guys in the business that have taken jabs and said things about, you know, either one of us here on the radio. And, you know,
well, I think
it is what it is.
Well, the last few weeks, like I was saying earlier, people always kind of want the Twitter guy, the Twitter, you know, warrior guy. And that's just kind of, I've kind of grown past that. I'm more in like a mode of I said community, you know, and even with these guys, I've let both camps know, like, look, I'd like you guys to talk to me because I'm well-versed in the subject, and I'm also a guy that is very empathetic. I understand people's motivations or try to understand them. That's how I am by nature. And both camps have been very receptive. And so I expect to have some really good reports. I mean, I wrote 4 stories on Peterson, you know, and I expect to write as many on Berto this week.
Right.
They're a lot more lawyered up, though. We didn't really get into that. Howard Jacobs, Google that name in, like, PEDs or anti-doping and just have fun with that thread. It's too much for me to go into. That's probably the next article, kind of the differences between how Peterson and them handled it versus how Berto and his team handled it. I think it's really a stark contrast and they were very, very smart to get Howard Jacobs. I'll just say that. I mean, right off the bat from the statement, when you look at Peterson, like, they admitted, like, everything. And I think that was great that they were forthright. But you got to look at it from a legal standpoint. You got to protect yourself. And
right.
Peterson didn't really protect himself. He's kind of throwing himself at the mercy of, I hope everybody believes my story.
Believe me. Right.
And I, you know, I'm going to talk to him after the hearing. That's when we're set to do our interview. Hopefully
right.
we can get him on the Men in the Ring. I'll certainly get him on one of the venues I'm on,
right.
You know, in print. But I prefer to do it on the radio.
Either way, it's
we'll really
be...
know what his deal is.
Right.
But
let's take some Fight Fans really quick. Let's see what they got.
Please, let me stop talking.
Fight Fans 347-215-7598. If you have any questions, call in, man. You know, it's a little past midnight, 20 minutes past midnight. Let's see what some fans have to say. Let's get, and like I said, we don't have Mr. David Chen with us because this was a special of Leaving the Ring. But let's go with area code 678. What's up, brother? You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, fellow? This is Seth Mathis from Ultra Book Show Radio, man. You guys never sleep, and neither do I.
That's very true.
Hey, real quick, man, just giving you guys the topic. What do you guys think of father and son combinations and fighter and cornerman, like we saw tonight with Mayfield against Serrano? You know, Serrano, his dad, what went on between rounds and round 4. What do you guys think of it? Is that something that hurts a fighter or helps a fighter? I mean, what's your guys' opinion on it?
Well, I know that Gabriel didn't watch what happened on tonight on Friday Night Fights.
Yeah.
He's been very consumed in what's been happening with the Berto case and stuff like that. But I did have a chance to check it out. And I was tweeting it. I mean, look. You know, Rick James Coward.
Are you
I
open?
Think
can you break 100?
He had the right idea. You know?
Can you break 100?
Of calling it. And
sorry.
He had the right idea of calling it. And I think a lot of the times, you know, even a lot of other fight fans, people that are involved in the business, we all understand that, you know, there's emotions there that kind of blind you. You know, I hear you, but there's a lot of emotions there that are blind you. I mean, I just don't get, and I got to be honest with you, and I got to be honest with a lot of listeners tonight. I don't get when you see your son getting hurt, and you could, it's clear, man, he's dazed. Why do you want to risk? Do you not understand? This is a brutal sport. This is a sport that can just mess up his speech impediment, you know? And this is a sport that's just going to stop, you know, functioning. To function in the real world, I don't get that. I don't understand,
you know,
that. Go ahead.
You know, I had some friends ask me tonight. I got some calls asking me, well, what do you think of the stoppage, man? I mean, you know, why do you think his dad left him hang him out to dry? And I'm like, well, damn, man. You know, My thing is, I'm not a big fan of the father-son combo in a corner. Because like you say, you know, when you're a corner man, when you're a trainer, when you're a manager, whatever, you have to leave emotions outside the ring so you can effectively manage what's going on inside the ring with your fighter. Now, Ricky James Coward did a great job. He tried to take a stand. He saw Dave's fighter, a young Dave's fighter who has a lot of future ahead of him. But, you know, on the other hand, you see the father whose emotions are riding high, and he's battling a coward not to stop the fight. You know, and this is a minor title, let's just call it. No, I'm not minimizing Mayfield's title, but it's a minor title. You take a father-son combination like the one that Wilfredo Vasquez Jr. and his dad have when Wilfredo Vasquez fought Jorge Arce. And Jorge Arce put him on a queer street in the 11th round and then on the 12th round, which was the last round, and his dad stepped in and stopped the fight to save him for another day. You know, that's something that I've never truly understood, why a lot of fathers, yes, they push their kids into the fight game, but they're not willing to let go of the reins and say, you know what, son, this is what's best for you. Somebody that can leave emotions outside the ring and manage your career or manage you inside the ring.
But that's something that I just don't understand. And I got to tell you this. I mean, this is the honest truth. I mean, maybe I'm a bit sensitive, but these are my kids, they box. I train my kids. But I got to be honest with you. Maybe I'm, because I'm not in that position. Some folks were like, well, you're not in that position. I'm not pro fighters and snap. But my kids have fought amateur fights. And I got to just honestly tell you that, you know, it's a difficult thing, you know. If I saw my kids taking a beating, I'd stop it, man. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they're my babies. I love them. They're from me. I raised them. They're my babies. Regardless of this kid can have, he could be 24 years old and have a family of his own. They're still my babies. Fathers, I got to be honest with you, and I might get a lot of criticism. You're not being a father. I'm sorry. You're just not. You're not. You know? You're not being a dad. And you can come at me any way you want, and you can criticize me any way you want. You can obviously find flaws in parenting in anybody. But at the end of the day, that's not fathering. That's not being a mentor. That's just not. It's just not. Sorry. It's not. You know?
I just think, you know, it's been rare that, you know, the boxers, the father-son relationship works. You know, it's not always a sure thing. And I think, you know, from what I'm hearing from you guys, you know, it's just like, let the trainer train. But thanks for spoiling the end of that fight. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I'll see
what
I get back.
Absolutely. I mean, and ESPN was asking about what happened to the stool. And Rick, he said it. I'm keeping the stool. He kept it down. He didn't bring it to the ring. A lot of folks were actually tweeting about that. What happened to the stool? It's controversy. There was no controversy to it. He kept the stool. He understood that Raymond Tito Serrano, he couldn't continue. And that's the huge criticism. That's the controversy. It's very sad, man.
That's something that I picked up on Twitter and also on Facebook, and everybody that has called me so far, they have said, well, they're saying, ESPN was saying that they were so disorganized. And I'm like, no, it wasn't disorganization. It was somebody taking a stand to save that kid from further damage, which was Ricky Coward. He was standing there with a stool, and he said, no, this fight is over. But he got overruled by the dad, and I guess the Cutman. I believe it was the Cutman that
was
in the ring.
It was the dad, the Cutman, and the official. Do you see the official came in?
Yeah, the official was trying to push him back, too.
Yeah, he pushed him back as well. And you know what? I called Dave to get the clarification. You know what? We're going to save this for Thursday night. I want to get the camp called. So anybody that's seen it right now, leave the ring. It's like 12:30 in the morning. I'm tired. Gabriel Montoya's tired. Let's save it. This is definitely something that we need to continue on, and I want to get my input because this is something pretty big.
Well, definitely, man.
Thanks for taking the call, and thanks for keeping me entertained at night when I can't sleep, man. Thanks.
All right.
Hey, no problem, man. Our pleasure. I have an insomniac as well.
Yeah, this is something we have to, you know, honestly, I think that you get, you know, Gabe, you have to really look at. I'll send you a link. I know that Sweet Box will definitely send that. I think it's already up.
Oh, yeah. I got all my stuff all set up. I just, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, it was just all about my phone and we kept calling and updating with information. The article's out now on maxboxing.com. I think Doghouse Boxing fits it up. Tomorrow there'll be an interview with Richard Schaefer. Probably any more little details I can update. I'll be splitting them between the two sites. And whatever I can bring you from the gyms of, on boxing, I think it'll also enhance my max boxing job. Certainly, I've been making more money now, so I'll be able to go to as many fights as I want to, I think, or more fights, you know. And I'd like to branch out to the East Coast. I mean, today is a very exciting day for me in the world of boxing. Like I said earlier, sometimes I hated it, sometimes I didn't. Today was a day that it reminded me of why I kind of started doing all this, not just studying PEDs, but boxing writing in general, and why I came to L.A. almost 5 years ago to pursue this dream. And here I am, and I'm very excited, man. You know, it's just kind of humbling, the whole experience. The fight fans have been so cool. I only had like two people really be rude to me today, and that just feels good, you know. I kind of know where to go to get my positivity and to avoid my negativity. But it was nice on Twitter that people just kind of wanted to know what was going on. They were patient when I wasn't answering. I'm sure at this point they just know I'm working, you know. And
absolutely.
Tonight, this first article will be the fruit of that labor. So I'm excited to share it, and I'm excited to go do what I'm about to do. So I'll bid you all good night. And Dave, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, brother. Just let it. Yeah, absolutely, man. You have a great night. Be careful, and enjoy the rest of the night. And fight fans out there, make sure everything else is don't drink and drive. Like I tell everybody else. Hey, tune in every Thursday night, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And I hope you guys enjoyed. We had a special here, a few hours. Steve Kim called in. And treated us with his input, not just about what we were talking about Berto and Ortiz, but among other things that are happening here on the boxing world. As always, keep up with my co-host, Gabriel Montoya. Make sure you tune in Monday night, man, on the Box Nation in the UK.
Yeah, I'll be doing the interview at like 11 a.m. in the morning, so I'll be tweeting about it. I guess it'd be live TV, so I guess if you have a stream of Box Nation, 11 a.m. on the West Coast, I'm in Los Angeles, I'm going to make my live TV debut talking about boxing, at least. I don't think I've ever done that before, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic, man. So you got to know that the Leaving the Ring movement has been going, and, you know, Gabriel Montoya, man, he's doing it. So very proud of him. Like I told everybody else the other week before, you know, very proud that I'm working behind his side, you know, on the side of him. And guys, we'll see you. Have a great night, Gabe. Make sure you get home nice and safe. Everybody else that's tuning in, and I see a few guys telling me right now their wives is jumping all over them about being on the radio show so late. Hey, make sure they don't pull any, too many hairs out of your head. Until next week, Thursday night. We'll talk to you guys.
Peace.